listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is the Spirit of Life Metaphysics Radio Program, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Michael Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 21st. My name is Michael Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Well, good evening, Michael. You know, as always, I'm very glad to be here.
So glad to have you joining us and so glad to see everybody in chat again. Always look forward to seeing you and catching up. And thanks for those that take the time to catch up with us from the archives. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. As always, we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are 1. Do no harm, do right. 2. We believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3. We believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4. We are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5. We recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. Tonight's topic, a very exciting one, astral projection. And Dr. Vicki, I think you had some opening thoughts on this.
Well, yeah, I did, until I see there's already chatter in the chat about astral projection. I'm really glad about that, and we'll get to it in a minute. I think just for a more grounded, kind of a simplistic approach to it, is looking up what is, you know, a spiritual projection or, you know, a astral projection, so to speak. And it's when we're psychically able to project our spirit to observe something else outside of the immediate environment, or projection of an observing self is seen in extrapersonal space that seems totally dissociated from the physical body. Hmm. So let's be, you know, for the sake of a really more sensible, grounded approach, is, you know, being metaphysicians, is that we come from, you know, a standpoint of we do have a consciousness. That's a given. And the consciousness within our bodies, you know, within our being. And that consciousness then, you know, we think hypothetically, I'm going to speak very personally in a moment, but hypothetically, can, while still connected to the body, allow itself to float and travel. Hmm. And so, you know, think about, in a way, you know, the government has done a lot of studies on remote viewing. What is that? Which could be considered an astral projection, right? Some kind of. And so, again, if you think about a quantum entanglement or an ability to alter the consciousness that is still connected to the self, but outside the self, and can view and send back the message to the human self about being outside, out there. And so I think that, you know, again, being really simplistic, but also from a grounded point, it would be a hypothetical, a theory, until you've experienced something that you say, oh, That's what that is, you know. And so for people who have not, so I want to go there first. For people who have not had an experience of some kind of astral projection or out-of-body experience, then it seems like a foreign language. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it's, you know, that's just too whacked out. Well, but we can also think of near-death experiences. Mm-hmm. Where a lot of people have claimed to, you know, seen themselves. And there's millions of stories about this. And so it's much the same thing where our spirit or soul, consciousness, if you will, has the ability to, if we choose, to travel outside the body and the immediate environment. Now, understanding that it's always connected to the body. And in the, you know, I don't want to say New Age community, but in the metaphysical community, it's called that silver thread. Each of us, you know, the soul is connected by a silver thread to the body through the top chakra, if you will, so the top of the head. And so it goes right down all the way through the spine. So it's again, you know, opening our minds to that possibility. Go ahead.
I was just going to say it's a very interesting visualization, kind of helps bring it together. And when I think about this, it sounds like kind of almost a mastery of your own consciousness relative to the physical. And Dr. Edward had talked about lucid dreaming, which we had touched on last week. He said astral projection, lucid dreaming, two of the coolest skills to learn. I'm thinking, do you think there's any correlation in the skills needed in those two arenas?
I do.
Or are they just two different?
Well, you know, different sides of the same coin, because we're talking consciousness and the capabilities, the, you know, possibilities of, you know, what we're capable of in understanding consciousness. Now, you have to be clear, though, there's no science to prove this. You know, there's no repeatable science. It's in the scientific community, and again, scientists are all subjective and by a book that we don't know about. It's A to B just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
But when you consider consciousness, and then you look at all these other things like hypnotic regressions, or, you know, like the list is long about what is capable in our consciousness, then you have to entertain the idea that all of these extra things are connected in some way. It's just different capacities.
And, you know, when you said earlier, you know, for people that have never had an experience, it kind of seems out there. I wouldn't say I find it. That's me. I'm the layman in this conversation. I've never had an experience like that. It's fascinating to me, all of these very compelling accounts of out-of-body experiences, people that, you know, accurately identified things while astral projecting and different things you've read. It's a fascinating arena, but it also is just the implications. If this is true, then what are the implications for consciousness, a global consciousness, and that kind of, you know, tie to the other side of the veil?
And absolutely.
Connects with so many different things. Now, you said that you had touched on the government. You know, I think MK Ultra is a famous example of the CIA engaging in these kind of things.
Sure.
That's kind of something that interests me. Have we ever found out about any other, you know, foreign governments? Did we ever learn anything about the Soviet Union, for example, when they fell?
Well, they all did. Between Hitler doing a lot of experiments, so did Russia, many governments, China, Japan, they have all explored, you know, different capacities of consciousness, you know, and what the mind can do. Now, whether they call it consciousness or not, they're looking at the capabilities of the human mind. And, you know, really, they say we use about 10% of our brain. So that focuses on what if you expand the brain and its capabilities? Like, do you just get smarter, or are you capable of other things? So, you know, remote viewing is a perfect example of, you know, and there's a lot of statistics out there. But again, how much are we really going to know? Only what they want us to know. So when you do research on that, it's going to be limited, I think, and skewed by whoever the writer is and so on. So if we, it's been real enough to enough people that governments have pursued to investigate and do experiments. And I believe these experiments are still going on, you know? So it's not something that, you know, stopped in the 60s because they ran out of money or interest. It's still going on, you know, still.
We can only imagine the different things that are being, you know, developed and, you know, studied and taught. It's a really interesting thing for me because it's just the idea of being able to maintain your spirit form outside of the body is, it is a fascinating mystery to me. You know, like you said earlier, it's just hard for me to conceptualize. But what do you, when you think about people that have done it and, you know, your own personal experiences and stories and people that you've spoken with about it, what is it that, is there something that marks individuals that are more capable of this than others? Is it people that are more attuned or sensitive or can, you know, intuit things already? Are they more apt for this skill?
Well, I think anyone is capable. So, and I think anyone and everyone is capable. There's a key, and that key is being willing to let go of control and trust yourself. And so sometimes you have to take it in little bits. And I really appreciate what Dr. Jerry has said to Wendy because they were chatting. She says, close your eyes, trust your guides, and just fly. Take small trips first until you get comfortable with it. Your guides won't let you get lost or anything. They'll protect you in the ethers. Just relax and enjoy. And I don't relate to guides in that way, Jerry. But it's whatever your thing is, that's your thing. And I don't have any opinion or judgment on that whatsoever. It's not, it just isn't my thing. But it is about taking small trips at first. And if you're able to, let me give you an example. And I think I talked about this in a program years ago. One of my dear friends in high school and I, we always were looking up witch books and, you know, all kinds of interesting things. But as we got older, you know, and again, each kind of living our own lives, and I was about 21, I guess, and, you know, I was living 1,000 miles away from her, but I was thinking about her. So I did a meditation, and I just relaxed. That's all I do is relax, and I thought about her. And my astral body projected to her. And I saw her in a white room, and everything was white, like her bedspread, and pillowcases, curtains, everything was pure white. And I thought, that's the weirdest thing, because I don't remember her room looking like that. So back in those days, I remind you, we had to write letters, because there was no email. And I wrote her a letter and said, you know, astral projected to your place, and I see everything is white. And she wrote back and said, yes, I just redid my room and it's all white. And I went, whoa, like, cause so you have to trust yourself in what you're seeing, even though it's outside your frame.
It's your conscious mind tries to, maybe it filters through to kind of, express itself in different ways that might not be almost like looking at a photograph or video.
Right. You have to trust what you're seeing as not within your frame for reality. So I had to trust what I was seeing. So, and unfortunately what happened is when I returned, you know, to the city we lived in and I got together with her, she had had this experience of being a born again Christian and everything had to be pure and white. And it was, you know, whatever her trip is. But and there were reasons for that another time. But that was my first real proven astral projection where I had a tangible explanation, tangible recipient to knowing what I had experienced was real. And that just made me pursue it all the more. Like, what are we capable of? Not just me, but what are we capable of? And so for a number of years, I would practice simple meditation where you let go of here now, and it's about quietening the mind. And of course, I had been trained in hypnosis by that time, you know, other meditation techniques, and being able to allow my consciousness to explore, whether it's just flying over an area or a terrain, or to check in on somebody. Now, I mean, and I could do it at will, and it got easier and easier. Now, let's back up, because your question is, can anybody do this? Mm-hmm. I think absolutely, but it does require, if somebody is, you know, skeptical, pragmatic, no offense, Michael, you know, and hasn't really framed a lot of experiences in their life in a metaphysical way, or kind of a spiritual way, or some kind of otherworldly, like it's beyond a coincidence. So I would say today, like, let's just, Michael's dog got out today, and a neighbor knocked on his door and said, hey, did your dog get out? Well, Michael's got cameras. He headed on home. Well, it turns out that guy lives down the street, but he's a dog trainer.
Yeah.
I see that not as a coincidence. I see that as, a gift.
I think it very much will be. And, you know,
and that connection.
It these kind of examples and these stories that we all have, it is so compelling, and it so lends itself to the idea of kind of there being these connections of order amid the chaos of life, and we find these little tendrils of connection, of meaning, and it always kind of lends itself to something beyond. And it is interesting, because what are the odds? And especially out of all my neighbors, that he would be home, that he would be out at the right time, you know?
Well, and I see that as your spirit forces are looking out for you. And in that way, I think that we're all being watched over. We are, so I agree with Jerry in that way, that, you know, we're not alone in our experience on this level. There's other levels of experiences going on simultaneously. And if, for instance, just a couple of I had worked on the weekend, and a girl that I knew from a place of her work, I had seen her many times and chatted to her because we're both Harry Potter freaks. And but she came in, and her mother is in hospital and doesn't look good. I was out running errands yesterday, and I had this overwhelming feeling to go see her. I didn't need to go there, but I thought, okay, I'll stop in that store and I'll buy something. And well, there she was. And I said, how are you doing? Well, she needed to talk. And when you follow the feeling of where you're to go. So her and I had a really good talk. She really doesn't have any support here. A cousin, aunt and uncle in the next town. But all of her siblings live in another province. So she's here dealing with her mother going into palliative care. So I gave her some resources, some suggestions, and I also gave her my number. I said, look, if you just need to talk, I'm here. And when I left there, and she said, oh, you have no idea how much I appreciate this. I said, anytime, I totally understand. And I went back in my car and I said, thanks, guys. That's a moment of knowing that something else is going on. Mm-hmm. And it's a being of service in a way, and I don't see any ego related to this whatsoever. It's being called to action. And I heard a voice. The voice said, go there. I have a choice about whether I do that or not. I can totally dismiss it and say, I don't have time for that. Or you can participate in life when you hear that. She could sure use, you know, an ear.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and some support. So when you see those things in that way of we're not alone, and call it my super consciousness, I don't care. I call it little voices in my head and spirits talking all the time. So I just said, sure. I'll absolutely go there. So being called into the right place at the right time. So when you think about that, you start thinking of life or the world from a different perspective, not so pragmatic, clinical or mental, it opens up that world of alternate ideas that all things are maybe possible. Now, do we have the be-all, end-all answers for all things, and can we, you know, cure every disease in the world? Look, who knows? We all have our own road to live. But it does lend to the idea, then, of if we're receiving, we can also travel there.
Mm.
If it goes one way, it can also go another way.
Right. Roads go in both directions.
Exactly.
You know,
so that's the way I see that.
It's, you know, there's so many different things that come to mind. And, you know, another thing is if it's tied to consciousness, and we can kind of begin to explore both this kind of world that we're in, and you've talked about how there are, you know, other things that you intuit, those voices that you had mentioned. What about astral projecting to different planes, to different dimensions, you know, outside of this physical one? Do we have any good examples?
Yeah, that's trippy. I've done it many, many times.
Mm. Just makes me think of the movie Doctor Strange.
Well, not so strange. Again, what do you believe? So, you know, it's subjective, right? Because in my experiences of meditations, of traveling, sometimes let's say I just need to lay down for a few minutes and do a little lay down meditation, and then my astral body will go into space and traveling beyond the earth. And I know that sounds bonkers to people, but traveling through space and flying. And you can also travel through other dimensions or time travel.
That's an interesting one, isn't it?
And I believe that. So, because I've experienced alternate things, I've had these alternate experiences. Now, again, I want to be really clear because I don't – look, I know people have accused me of talking in absolutes. And all I can tell you is it's absolutely true for me today. You know, talk to me next week and I might have something absolutely different to tell you because, I mean, I'm growing and changing too.
Right.
So I'm just saying about what is my experience and how I interpret those experiences that are real to me. And I've imparted those experiences to others. I have trained other people in the past to astral travel. But I'm going to really get down to earth here and say I stopped doing that. Most people who want to learn astral projection want to learn for spying. They want to learn to check on whether or not their boyfriend's cheating.
Try to maintain control in this world.
Yes. And when I realized that a lot of people don't have, and again, I mean, no judgment, but it's, if you're not looking to expand your own consciousness, then it's a waste of time. Certainly a waste of my time to help you. Because I'm not in the business of teaching you how to control the world.
Very well said.
So, and I stopped doing that. Now, the other thing I stopped doing, everyone, many years ago, is I stopped actively astral traveling. I had a bit of an epiphany about the be here now, which I had done a lot of training of when I was like in my early 30s. And the job here, once I had realized for me that there was a greater consciousness, my task now was to learn how to live here as a more whole being, you know, spiritually, mentally, physically, and emotionally find balance in myself, how to be here in this lifetime. Do I still astral travel? Yes, but for a very different motive. It would be in the expansion truly of my own consciousness of wherever they want to, and that's where, again, I might have to agree with Jerry in some way, wherever they want to show me or when I really need to rest, because I'm most rested after I've projected.
You know, that's fascinating. I was thinking about, as you were saying that, how you'd, you know, stopped doing it on a regular basis. Made me think, are there drawbacks to it? Are there negative sides to it? You said you were trying to focus on being more in balance. Do you feel that doing it too much brought you out of balance with things as they are now?
Well, I think there's a lot of risk in two things. It's colliding with other forces out there. Because we all think that it'll never happen to us here, right? Oh, I'll never get cancer. I'll never get this. I think there's just as much risk when you start projecting yourself outside the body of how many other collisions can happen. You see, it's not a direct line. You know, we're always integrating energies with other energies, and you have to keep yours intact.
So you think
that
might
make sense?
Yeah, you think it might make you more open to the consequences of other energies around you and the energies of other spirits, shall we say?
Yeah, I do. But the other thing is, I think that sometimes we become so focused on expanding our consciousness, we forget how to live here. And in my world, you have to have that balance. And so again, it's not like I don't, you know, I have voices talking to me all the time. It's just that I'm here to learn about being human and, you know, contribute what I can and keep growing. If there's some kind of weird karma I have to work through and keep learning, well, okay. And so on. Wendy just asked a really profound question. Has anybody ever astral traveled and can't come back with physical marks on their body? Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting, isn't it?
I have. And you know, I remember I had this really profound night of dreams, because you can astral travel in your dreams too, by the way, people. The next morning, I had gone to see my kids, and my daughter says, "How'd you get that mark on your arm?" I said, "I have no idea." I looked, and there's this huge scrape on my arm. I have no idea. Did I scratch myself in the night? Oh, maybe. I don't think so. But there's been other times where I have noticed, what's that mark on my hand I woke up with? Hmm. Now, again, people can say, oh, you just scratch yourself in your sleep. So I don't know. Other times when I, during the day in a meditation, oh, I know this is going to sound bonkers. I have come back to my body, gone to my reality, and suddenly a mole I never had is there.
Well, that's interesting. What was your first thought?
It could be a collision. It could be a collection of a spiritual memory. I could give you a lot of theories, you know.
I was thinking of, you know, kind of connecting briefly with a multiversal self, maybe one where you had them all.
It could be.
Just spitballing, but there's so many. That's a whole other avenue of itself. And, you know, you talked about astral projection while dreaming. That is a whole, you know, that's a whole topic unto itself. But again, would you be able to astral project while lucid dreaming? Let's just bring this back around.
I think you can.
Well, that's interesting.
It's the dream within a dream, right?
Right.
So can you, in your dream, project in the dream? Sure. I believe that's happened to me a few times. But again, I have to be really clear, Michael. It's whatever you believe. See? It's... If you believe it's just a dream that was weird and a dream in a dream, then that's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, it's
again, I don't want to tell people there's an absolute answer, because there isn't.
Well, yeah, I think that we're all capable of different things. We all experience different things, and you know, we have to live our truth, right? But
well, and keep exploring what your truth is,
And you know,
and what it is for you.
Absolutely. And, you know, me going into this, you had made a comment, joke earlier about me being a bit more skeptical. And it's true. Even right now, I can't. What's that?
It's good.
Yeah. You know, it's hard-earned from growing up thinking something's true and then realizing it's not in a faith and dogma and things like that. But the concept is so provocative to me. The ideas, the implications, all of the different threads and the connection of our consciousness to something bigger, it's all just very exciting. And while I might not commit myself fully to saying it is fact, I will be open to it. And I try to keep an open mind and I try to be grounded. But, you know, too closed off and you won't see the truth, and too open and you'll make your own truth.
But, well, that may close you off to a more open truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, but this is the way we live, right? We're very rigid people. Humans are very rigid.
We need routine.
Well, I think we live in a world that is always so confusing and complex that when we finally believe something, we hold on to it. Because that makes us feel safe, you know, and we all want to feel safe in some way.
We do. We want consistency.
Sure. And, you know, feeling safe makes you feel like you have control and, you know, carry on.
Absolutely.
So I think that when you open your mind to all possibilities, and I think this is where a lot of people stop at, and this is where I have issues with this so-called New Age movement, is, you know, you grow to a point, I got that answer. I feel safe with this answer, and they stop. And so, you know, I'm saying, yeah, but what about this? What about that? And what do you mean? You know, because there's so much more to explore. And you have to be okay with yourself to say, I don't know. And
yes.
You have to be okay with yourself to say, wow, this is my experience. I have no idea what that means. And when you keep trying to find an answer, when you don't have enough information, you're going to stop at confusion and feel like you're all messed up. Or you're going to miss the whole point of that little bit you got a taste of, and there's more to come.
Mm-hmm.
And so that you can figure that out for yourself.
That's very well said.
Well, we just have to keep growing. And I'm okay with not knowing.
I
don't know.
That is kind of key to maintaining a healthy outlook, is being able to say, I don't know, because there's so much to this reality, to existence, to this life, and what might come next. You know, we can't know it all. You know, be all of the facets, all of the different, you know, nooks and crannies of existence. So I think being able to say that is a very healthy thing.
Well, if I knew it all, I'd be running the world. Mind you, I do have a lot of the answers for running the world.
Well, you and me both. We'll have to fight it out for Supreme Leader.
I know. I really enjoyed this conversation. I so appreciate everybody's talk in the chat.
Mm,
can't
it's been
possibly
fantastic.
Go through it all. But I encourage anybody who's listening in the archives, if you ever get a chance to join us here, and please do so. I think we're ready to draw cards. And for those who are new, or, you know, listening in the archives and you're new, Michael draws an inner oracle self-discovery card designed by Dr. Michael Kelly. And I do a backup tarot card, which I don't have mine out yet.
I think you said Dr. Michael Kelly. You mean Dr. Douglas Kelly.
I'm sorry, Douglas Kelly. I appreciate that, Michael.
Well, I can't take credit for it.
No, Dr. Douglas Kelly. And I'm sure Douglas Kelly is listening, and I'm sorry about that, Doug.
Oh, I think he'll be fine. But
yeah.
All right. Well, we have some names already. And so I'm going to pull the first card from our inner oracle deck. And it's for Dr. Jerry.
All right.
And really, you know, keeping you in our thoughts. I know you're going through a rough time. But, you know, you've been in our thoughts. We're wishing you the best. And for you, I have wild card number 8, freedom.
Ooh.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
You got the tower, Jerry, and I think you know what that means. It's a good foundation from which to build, but a lot of the superficial stuff, the external stuff, is kind of what you don't need anymore is falling away. So freedom to explore your mind, explore your situation, explore a whole new way of seeing things, and go where what you know. Because what you know, like you know it in your gut, You know it in your every fiber of your being. That's your foundation. And everything else from there, you know, can, oh, well, whatever. So it's like in your knowing. So make sure you stay to that, because that is your ultimate freedom, and of knowing everything else is extraneous, everything else is possible. So where you're at, whether it's for treatments or for how you're dealing with people and otherwise, you're in a stage of transformation. Be kind to yourself, but, you know, be grounded in your body, and your knowing is your knowing.
You know, I like
just
it.
Just what you know.
All right. And our next card is for a new name I haven't seen before, I don't believe, Dr. Melly.
All right, Melly.
For you, I have number 42, trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself, intuitively and sensibly. It is adherence to a moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character, and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, and trust without integrity is empty. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, yourself.
Well, I think this has more to do with work and finances, Millie. So we're really shifting gears here. I've got the Six of Diamonds, which is also like the Six of Pentacles. And it's, so when you have trust and integrity, the Six of Diamonds, the coming and going of finances, money, then I think what this is perhaps a situation at work, you know, staying true to your beliefs and how you see things, and knowing when to speak, when not to speak, speak up or ask for, picking your timing. So it's, you know, really about, you know, being observant. That's what I want to say, is observant of others and picking your spots. So again, I think there's a discussion about money here. That's what I'm here. So maybe mm-hmm. you're asking for a raise, or think it's time for you to have one. Perhaps it's even something as simple as that, but pick your spots.
All right. We have Dr. Zora next. And for you, I have number 11, awareness. Every human being has a responsibility to increase their awareness for fulfillment and peaceful coexistence. People generally do the best they can according to their current level of awareness, knowledge, experience, and resources. This card may indicate that an increased awareness in some area is needed. Continue to increase your awareness of self and others through observation, acquired knowledge, and a positive attitude. Good card, and touched so much on what we spoke about.
Yeah. Now this is the second major arcana of the evening already. I got temperance for you, Zoran. So when you have, you know, that awareness, temperance is about going with the flow and patience. You know, temperance is water. And so you think that flow of, so it's something that as we're learning and expanding our mind, and, you know, we kind of clue into something, have our aha moments. Other people may not. But you can see the dynamic or see people in a brand new way and say, oh, I know what that is. But you have to be patient and temperate to allow the dynamic to happen and let people still play their own roles, say their own lines, and not correct them. It's just that you're seeing it differently now. And let's say it's something as simple as an unhealthy behavior, which you used to participate in, but now you see it's unhealthy. You can't correct other people necessarily, but you're correcting yourself and how you respond and interact with it. That changes somebody else's behavior. So it's that kind of experience here in the awareness and being patient with others and yourself.
I like it. I like that one a lot. Next, I believe we have Dr. Jeff. And for you, I have number 29, pay it forward. Living with gratitude and responsibility extends generosity to others, even with random acts of kindness that offer no self-benefit except the satisfaction of heartfelt kindness. This may be a time to calm the spirit and lift the heart by giving forward, without any particular reason, reminding yourself that love is the center of all life. Is there a way that you can pay it forward right now?
Hmm. Jeff, I got the Six of Clubs. So that's Six of Wands. You know, the clubs is always about change in some way. Six is about service and community. But I always see this particular symbol as kind of celebration, a coming home celebration. So that pay it forward, yeah, we know you do. I want to ask, are you ready? Are you ready to participate in the outside world rather than just thinking and talking about it? So, boy, and again, that's said with all the kindness in the world. But it's there's only so long you can plan for things, and then you have to do. Like, there has to be action. And that's what this is saying, is it's a time for action, a time to, you know, move forward into the celebration of sharing and interacting and participating and, you know, showing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff, because who you are is what you give forward. So that's what I want to say to you. Again, I say it with kindness. Yeah, I hope you get that. So.
All right. And Dr. Edward, we have you next. And thank you so much for sharing in chat. I really appreciated those stories. For you, I have wild card number 4, unknowable. There are mysteries in the universe. Not all can be known or predicted. A focus of deliberate intent can reveal valuable unforeseen knowledge for what lay ahead. Remember, we only see what we know and believe. The universe is unfolding in ways that are unknowable to your existing ways of thinking. Change your mind and you change your world. Change your mind and what was once unknowable may now be knowable. Listen to the subtle leadings and incitations of your higher self. What was once unknowable is now knowable. Remain flexible and open to change.
Well, in this case, I got another major arcana. Mm-hmm. Spirits are working. The judgment card, which is declaration, an announcement of some kind. But, you know, I had a conversation with somebody today, and that comes to mind right now, Edward, for you. You know that place of you look around and you feel like it's a static moment, like nothing? That moment of where am I? What am I doing? It feels vacant. It feels like, why does it feel like nothingness in my day? Well, to me, that's what that is a rest time. You know, that it might feel like nothingness, so you go for a walk, you know, you might cook a meal, clean up something, putter in the garage, and they're all mindless tasks. But it's necessary for all those other energies to kind of, you know, align themselves. Rest assured, when that moment passes, and it usually doesn't take long, it's that flow of saying, this is who I am. This is what I'm going to do. This, like, you'll feel it in your bones and it suddenly gets active again. You feel like your intuition is sharper. You're dynamicking with people in a whole different way. So take advantage of the moment to just say, I'm just going to chill out today, read a paper, you know, clean the bathroom. You know, I don't know if you clean your bathroom, but, you know, maybe your partner does or family. I'm just saying that do those mindless things and be okay with that because energy will move forward fast enough.
Well said. All right. Dr. Kevin is next. For you, I have number 28, do no harm, do right. Do no harm, do right is the most powerful principle to live by. Doing no harm includes words and actions to the self and others. Doing right means to also take positive action where there is a need without infringing on the free will or rights of others. Always strive for the highest good for all concerned, including yourself. Do no harm, do right establishes the foundation for all other principles.
Well, I got the page of cups here for you, Kevin, that page of hearts. Ooh. Do no harm, do right. Sometimes we think that a word of wisdom is good for someone, but they didn't ask for it. Or it's not by way of just a discussion or an open conversation where you can throw in, you know, some advice or impart some wisdom. You know, the timing of that has to be carefully placed, or it can bring about some kind of complication. In other words, people can take it wrong. It causes an argument, or somebody thinks you're trying to tell them what to do. And you're probably right in what you think they should do, but that's not what they need to do at this moment. So we have to be really careful. And I especially know this with grown children. Like I look at some of the decisions, I go, well, it's not what I would do. I don't think this is going to go the right way. But what do I know? Because it's not my life. So unless somebody asks me and it's in a reasonable conversation where I can throw something in there or an idea, then it's inappropriate of me to say anything. So you might be in a situation, a work situation. It could be a family situation where pick your spots and know that what you're saying is appropriately timed and with the words that don't look like they're judgmental or condescending. And I know it's not intentional, but again, that do no harm, do right. We can do a lot of harm with our words, and usually it backlashes and hits us right in the forehead. So you want things to go smooth, then sometimes take the high road.
Very true.
I hope that makes sense to you, Kevin. So anyway, I do want to appreciate the feedback everybody's giving, you know, in the chat. And I, like I say, I don't always know what I'm talking about.
Oh, come on now. That's not true. I know it's true for me. I get to read out of a book. But
we have Wendy next.
All right. The card keeper herself. And Wendy, for those that are listening that don't know, keeps track of the different cards that are pulled. I really appreciate that. I know we all do. And we've had a lot of new cards that have been, new to people. No, very few repeats, although we've seen them pop up. Interesting start to the, we're a few weeks in, so it's an interesting start. For you, I have number 31, Sacred Obligations. A sacred obligation is a sacrosanct duty that any higher being would render for the highest good of all concerned. Sacred obligations include do no harm, do right, pay it forward, uphold individual value. Value all life, extend tolerance and equality, control and change only what one is entitled to control and change, evolve and grow as a human being with higher awareness, promote knowledge, not fear, and more. Continue to aspire to your highest good by recognizing and fulfilling sacred obligations.
Wendy, I got the four of spades. Now that four of swords, it's a time of rest. And I want to say here, your most sacred obligation is to yourself. So if you need time out, you need a little rest, you need a moment to yourself, a mental health day, take it. Because that's what I'm saying to you. If you're feeling overwhelmed or like stressed in any way, then your obligation is to your own well-being first and foremost. Because if you're no good to yourself, you're no good to anybody else. So, and I think we all have those moments like, I need a time out day. I mean, one day last week, I had a pajama day. I haven't had a pajama day in years. I said, nope, I'm in my pajamas all day. I don't care. I'm not going out. I'm not going to talk to anybody on Skype. I'm not answering my door. Like, pajama day. And so that's what I'm saying to you, Wendy. Maybe you need a pajama day. So sacred obligation is to you taking care of yourself and making sure you have enough rest and decompress.
I love it. All right. And finally, we have Audra tonight.
We do.
And Audra, I have number 2, esteem and validation for you. I don't know that we pulled this one in a little while. Self-esteem is self-worth based on internal expectations and validation, not to be confused with them-esteem, which is self-worth based on external expectations and validation, that is, what others think. High self-confidence is not the same as high self-esteem. Self-validation is the highest regard that you give to yourself. Fully experience the truths of your own path.
Queen of Hearts, Audra. You know, what I love about that is, living from the heart, But living from the heart doesn't mean it's passive. Living from the heart can also mean it's you being a warrior and you living from your spirit. So in validating yourself. So I'm going to go with this, Audra. I feel like there's been a shift somehow where you get it. And I'm not saying you didn't get it before, but you really get it now. Is your commitment is to yourself and understanding what self-validation is, or that self-certainty and who and what you are, and, you know, living true to yourself. And I'm not keen on this world, but that authentic self and not feeling afraid to be who you are. And again, we all apply a part of ourselves to whatever given situation. You know, I might use profanities with family and friends, but I don't do it at work. You know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's this, the Queen of Hearts knows more of who she is. And, you know, living from that place of what's true to you. And I think, again, what I'm sensing here is there's been a shift. And what happens with that, Audra, I'll warn you, is from that point you reevaluate everything again in your life. And I know you've been through a lot of changes the last 5 years. You can expect perhaps a change now. Now, it doesn't mean a total external change, but the internal change that you do dynamic with the world quite differently. So it's and maybe as simple as, oh, I've had enough of all this garbage. I'm going to do it my way, you know, and your way is good enough.
Absolutely.
And remember, I think I've certainly been guilty of this myself and only got ulcers as a result, is trying to temper myself that better accommodates others.
Oh, you know? Well said.
And, well, that makes me crazy. So just being myself, I've been criticized a lot because of, you know, it's my nature. But also I have to realize the environment or culture that I'm in, that I might be an oddity in all these other things. But you can look at a character like me on TV in a, you know, a sitcom or something and think, oh, that's a pretty cool individual. But then you look at me and say, I'm upsetting your life. Well, you know what I have to say to that? Call me colorful. And so,
what better, you know, thing could one be?
You know, it's like, never mind. I know I fast got a reputation among my coworkers at the hospital about, don't ask Vicky for an opinion unless you really want one. And, well, what am I going to say? You know, I mean, you asked me.
Those are the best people to ask.
Well, it's like, you know, somebody said to me one day about another particular coworker, and I said, oh, she's a wingnut. And they started laughing. Like, you just tell it like it is. I said, you know, with all the kindness in my heart, I got a soft spot for her, but let's all be real. She's a wingnut. You know, she needs to adjust her meds.
Oh, that's funny.
But it's, and it doesn't mean I'm going to treat her any different than anybody else, but I have to appreciate that she's not always in her body. So, it's, you know, it's be yourself. That's what I have to say.
Yeah, and that's always good advice. And, you know, tonight has been a very interesting discussion for me. I really appreciate everybody's contributions, and it is a limitless topic. So thank you, Dr. Vicky, for your insights. We've talked about this before, but it is always fun. It's always a good refresher, and I always love hearing your opinions.
Well, we can talk about something 100 different ways, you know. There's always something new to add to it. So,
isn't that the truth?
Yeah. That's why we never kind of, you know, some days Michael and I are, what are we going to talk about? But, you know, somehow we come up with something.
That's right. Well, as we bring tonight to a close, I want to thank everybody for joining us. We don't have a topic yet in mind for next week, but I know that we're hoping to get some interviews going, some guests on, and we'll be announcing it ahead of time, hopefully. So we'll let you know. And as we wrap up this evening, Dr. Vicky, any last thoughts?
Don't let them push you around out there.
Always good advice. Well, with that wisdom, we will leave you until next week. And until then, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.